Good morning and welcome to 5 Minutes of Faith. I'm the Reverend Megan King from St. Paul's United Church in Warkworth. This morning, let's take a look at the life of the early followers of Jesus after the resurrection. I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul's letter to the Romans is a pivotal piece of writing. Paul is known for the letters he wrote to the early churches, and his letter to the church in Rome is the most detailed of them all. Our reading this morning is simply the beginning of his letter, what we would call the salutation or the greeting. I will confess to a certain frustration with Paul's writing. He's long-winded and pedantic. He can pick apart and detail his arguments to the nth degree to a point that would be envied by the most obsessive compulsive person on earth. I think that Paul would be the sort of person who would go to a party and back you into a corner expounding on some point he just wants to make sure he's explained thoroughly. And in this day and age, some of what he says comes across as sexist and demeaning to women. And yet the passion with which Paul writes, his obvious sincerity and love for not only Christ but those he is writing to, helped me overlook those of his more fussy qualities. You've got to love a guy who loves so wholeheartedly. So we come to the greeting in Paul's letter. In this greeting, Paul sets out who he is and his purpose in life. All that he is and all that he does as an apostle of the good news is grounded in Jesus Christ. He uses the language of being called, the traditional language of not simply a job, but a vocation. There's a formal feeling to his greeting, to the phrases he uses to describe Jesus, as someone whose coming was prophesied by the Hebrew prophets, as someone who was descended from the line of King David, as someone who was accorded power by God through the resurrection. There's a reason for the formal-sounding greeting. Scholars agree that very likely what Paul is writing is a very early creed, something already traditional by the time Paul started writing. In offering this formal greeting, this greeting using words that would be familiar to the church in Rome, Paul is offering his readers the assurance that his own understanding of Christ will match theirs. This reassurance is important because he has not yet been to Rome. The people in that church there are completely unknown to him, and they've never heard him preach. Paul wants to set their hearts and minds at ease that they can trust his message and his ministry. Their message is important to Paul because he's counting on them to help finance his mission work. Even in the days of the early church, there were financial struggles for those who carry out God's work. But Paul doesn't stop there. He tells his readers that they, too, are called to belong to Jesus. He lets them know that they, too, have a place in God's realm, an identity and a purpose. You would think it would be easy to hear the call of God, but that's not the case. Speaking for myself, I felt a call to ministry for over 30 years before I would acknowledge it and answer that call. There are so many things in this world that also call to us. We live in a consumer age when we're bombarded by messages that call to us as well. We're called to buy more, acquire more, buy bigger and better. We're called to focus on worldly images and obsessions. Media tells us in a multitude of ways that unless we answer its calls, we're not good enough. The fear of failure is wrapped in a sense of identity grounded in material needs, desires, and whims. But what Paul is telling the church members of Rome and us is that he has found a true calling to follow. Calling, meaning something ongoing, not static or stalled. The calling that he has responded to grounded in his relationship with Christ, and this is what he wants for the Roman church and for us. But we need to listen for the calling. We need to be in an ongoing process of discernment to figure out what God wants for us as compared to what the consumer world wants. For Paul to tell his readers that they are also called to a new identity and purpose is not the sort of manipulation that the consumer world tries to impress on us. He is truly and sincerely offering them the start of an ongoing adventure of faith, an adventure that will be with them for the rest of their lives. So how do we discern what God is saying to us in the midst of all the competing voices? If we look at the record of how God has called and spoken through the ages, we may be more aware and focused on how God is speaking in the here and now. God calls. It's up to us to listen. Thanks be to God. Amen. This has been 5 Minutes of Faith with the Reverend Megan King, St. Paul's Warkworth. Come in and have your answers questioned.